In the book of Luke, chapter 6, it's a text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. We're going to pick up our reading, verse number 12. Those of you who have been following us in Bible study, we talked about the front side of this chapter on Tuesday night. Seems like every time the Sabbath would come around, Jesus and the boys were doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. Keep saying, and another Sabbath, and the second Sabbath. Things kept happening, but Jesus was remaining the same. And in this season where we are talking about Christian consistency, always the same, I want to call your attention to our reading beginning at verse number 12. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. And it came to pass in those days. Right? That he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealots, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Amen. You may be seated. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I want to talk to us today from the subject consistent prayer, the results of consistent prayer. As we are bringing closure to this Black History Month and continue to make history, I've been impressed upon to share an aspect of our ancestors, which is that of prayer. Most of the ones we spend time celebrating in this season, we men and women of, they were men and women of prayer. They took lashes and prayed. The children were taken and they prayed. Family members sold and they prayed. Women raped, and they still prayed. Prayer was a constant. Some had to die. All of them didn't make it. And I thank God for some Kunta Kintes. Glory to his name. It was a part of our history that brought us to where we are today. People that prayed, my father prayed, my mother prayed, my grandmother prayed. I remember them praying with earnesty when we had little, they prayed. When we had a little more, they prayed. Remember my daddy on his knees in the front room. When I grew up, we ain't have stuff like y'all have. He was in the front room. We had the front room, the kitchen, and the yonder. No, we ain't have no bathroom. We had three rooms and a path. But I remember him on his knees in the front room, praying for what seemed to be forever. Did didn't get up, didn't say nothing, and you had to walk by to get to the yonder. But he kept on praying. Those were the things that we saw coming up. And then as we moved from that house to a big house, he still got on his knees and prayed. Y'all, there has to be some consistency if you're going to have this Christian walk. If you're going to be consistent in your Christianity, there ought to be a constant time of prayer. Yeah, there needs to be some prayer. And so it's the text that tells us that Jesus himself wanted to show us that it was necessary, it is important for us to pray. I'm not trying to do nothing extra because Dr. Edwards is here. I'm just preaching like I'm preaching. That Jesus himself was a dependent, I want to call him a dependent savior. Yeah, the law that he had was never to act in independence of his father. The original sin in the Garden of Eden was the sin of acting in independence of God. And Luke begins by showing us the dependence of the Lord upon his father. Right there in verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Look, y'all, he was about to make a momentous decision. One that would affect the entire world. Yeah. First, he must spend some time talking it over with God. And here Luke, he emphasizes here the essential humanity of the Lord Jesus. Consequently, he emphasizes the Lord's habits of prayer. Yeah. All too often we make decisions and missteps into distressing situations simply because we fail to pray earnestly enough about them. That's not an error that Jesus would make. Yeah, you got to learn to pray about everything. It's the thing that would put you in position to receive. Now, you can't receive sometimes if you just don't ask. Yeah. Every now and then, you just get blessed. Every now and then, stuff just gets thrown in your face. But there's some things that you've got to petition God for. Yeah, you've got to understand that you've got to be dependent upon the Father. Yeah. But the Lord not only was dependent upon the faithfulness of his Father, but also he is about to become dependent upon the faithfulness of his friends. Yeah, no wonder he needed to pray all night long. There, verse 13, it says, and when it was day, he called unto his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He had numerous followers. They were all bottom on every side, but he needed a dozen or so men to be set apart for intensive training, men to whom he could entrust his ministry when he's gone. There's got to be somebody when he leaves this place to be able to carry on this ministry. And the decisions he was about to make called for great spiritual discernment. The character and capacity and commitment of each disciple had to be weighed. That's how it is when we want to call people to be deacons, people to be trustees. You got to figure out their character. You got to know something about the capacity that they bring with them. You have to know something about commitment. You can't wait till you put them on the board to start asking them to come to church on Sunday morning. You can't wait to get them on the board to ask them to tithe, then they should already be tithing. They're already speaking to the commitment that they do not have. I've gone off script. Come on back here. See. Most of the master's men are little more than mere names to us, but the Lord knew them through and through. He knew them really well. Doubting Thomas, devoted John, diligent Matthew, devious Judas, dependable Andrew, daring Peter, discerning Nathaniel. It is likely that Luke knew him too. He knew some things about him, but he uses restraint just like the rest of the evangelists and spares us some details. The focus is always on the master, not his men or his miracles. And Luke lists them all, but mostly without any kind of comment. There in verse 14 through 16, you can read it again when you get home. He begins to talk about the men by name. He calls them out who have been given to be his apostles. And the Bible includes this list four times. It's in Matthew, in Mark. It's in here in this passage in Luke. And it's also in Acts. And all of these lists arrange the apostles in three groups of four. All of them head each of the three groups with the same apostle. First group is headed by Peter, second by Philip, and the third by James, the son of Alphaeus. The leading apostle in each group likely supervised the others in his group. And if so, then Peter took care of Andrew, James, and John. Philip was responsible for Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas. James, the son of Alphaeus, was leader over Simon Zealots and the two men named Judas. Of the three companies, it's the first group that is the closest in proximity to Jesus. They were always hanging around Jesus. But both Matthew's and Luke's listing suggest the apostles were paired together. You know, sometimes the Lord sent them out in twos. And doubtless the Lord's night-long prayer vigil was occupied in discussing with his father just who should be paired with whom.
Yeah.
And if you keep reading the list, he keeps saying this one and that one. He brought them in prayers. But then you come down to the end of our passage today. You have these two men named Judas. How he must have agonized before his father about Judas Iscariot. He knew all about him, of course, y'all. Jesus knew what covetousness and treachery lurked in this man's heart. The Lord was able to purify the others of the mixture of selfishness and worldliness and materialism, but not Judas. Yet he deliberately put Judas in a place of trust as the treasurer. It did not help. Nothing would help. And it is in this last clause of verse 16, Dr. Edwards, that lends to the spurring on of this sermon. Speaking of Judas Iscariot, hear what it says, which also was the traitor. Which says to me that not only was Jesus dependent upon the faithfulness of his father and dependent upon the faithfulness of his friends, but he was dependent upon the faithfulness of his future. Help me, Jesus. If we rehearse the text from the beginning, verse 12, it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And this is the answer. This is the result. Look at the bunch that gets called together. He chose Peter. Y'all know Peter. Yeah. He chose Thomas.
Yeah.
And Judas Iscariot. And look, y'all, when he chose Judas Iscariot, he made himself death eligible because he was the traitor.
Well.
But do you not know that there had to be a Judas? Had to be a Peter. There had to be a Thomas for us to understand his choosing of a Jackson, of a Watson, of a Coles, of a Edwards. We had to have them for us to understand the calling of those that he put on us. And every day, glory to God, he's still calling my name. Every day he's still calling your name. Every day he keeps choosing you, and he still chooses me. And he's still working things out for our good. And just because there is a Judas, it didn't stop him from continuing to pray. You know, there's some folk that stop you from praying. There's folk that stop you from acting like you know God. There's folk that will stop you and keep you from where you need to be in God. Yeah, but we find him. It didn't stop him praying because we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he wants to pray when the disciples won't even pray. But he prayed. The scripture says he prayed, as it were, great drops of blood. He kept on praying. There they were. They came and got him, arrested him, carried him to judgment hall, And here he finds himself on an old rugged cross and he's still praying. Hear him praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's praying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's praying. He's saying, Father, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. And after all that praying, he died. Didn't he die? I said he died. After all that praying, he still died. And I know some of y'all get upset every now and then when your loved ones pass on. You get upset every now and then when things don't seem to go your way. And you will come at me talking about, I prayed. I've been praying and I keep praying and the Lord ain't doing nothing. This scripture has been placed here for you to understand that your prayers will get answered, but it's not necessarily in the fashion that you desire. He died. Most times death ends the story, but not so with Jesus. Y'all do know the third day morning that the Father raised him up with all power in his hand. He had been praying, did you forget about me? He had been praying, have you left me alone? Didn't get no answer then. But 3 days later, the Father raises him up with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Oh, glory. And he's still praying. Still praying for you. Still praying for me. And I'm making it because Jesus is praying. I'm still here because Jesus is praying for me. And some glad morning, when this life is over, I will make it into the heavenly kingdom because Jesus is praying for me. Got to be consistent with prayer. Nothing should stop you from praying. I know it gets hard sometimes. I know it hurts sometimes. I know you gotta cry sometimes. But keep on praying. Some stuff may die, but some other stuff will get resurrected. You gotta keep on praying. When it seems like you're losing stuff, he gonna bring some other stuff back in. You gotta keep on praying. You cannot allow the choices that you know God has led you to make not trip you up when things go haywire down the road. Some of y'all tripping because of some things that have happened in your life. You just knew the Lord was in them. I know I'm not in here by myself. And as I was believing God for what God said, and then some stuff happened, and some folk happened, and God still kept me. But hold up, wait a minute. In the moment, in the meantime, it seemed like we're out here all by ourselves. It seemed like God had left us alone. It seemed like he was paying attention to somebody else at the moment. But oh, glory to the Lamb of God. After a while, by and by, God showed up and showed me that he was still in control. He still had my best interest in heart. And I ain't start losing weight till just a few days ago. I didn't lose. God kept on making provision for me. And if you would be consistent in your prayer, if you would keep on praying. Look, Jesus prayed all night long and got a Judas. That thing messed me up, that he would pray earnestly to the Father and the Father would say, pick Judas. But he had to be faithful to his future. Judas had to be in the number, or he would betray him so that he would die for you and for me. I bless the Lord today for his consistency. I'm praying for yours. Amen.